Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm thinking to a significant event in past, significant to all of us here at First Lutheran, October 12, 1869. Remember what happened October 12, 1869? Well, maybe you've heard, maybe I heard Richard saying so. That's the day that First Lutheran had its origin, you might say. They signed the Constitution for the church back, you know, 143, 144 years ago. Now, the question is, where did that happen? Do you recall? Happened here in Knoxville, of course, downtown, in the Oliver Hotel, which is above now what's called Tupelo Honey, the restaurant, right? 20 Lutherans gathered up there. Another question, who owned the building? Peter Kern, that's right, Kevin. Peter Kern, and who was he? He was the mayor of Knoxville. He was a Lutheran, and he, in fact, we have a Kern Avenue or Kern Street behind the church here that's named after Peter Kern. He owned the Peter Kern's Bakery and Confectionery there at Tupelo Honey, and that's where First Lutheran got its start. And those little details of what building, where it happened, and who owned the building is important to us, is it not? How about in the faith, in the life of faith? What's one of the most significant events in Christian history, which we build our whole faith? The resurrection of Christ, right? Where did that happen? Jerusalem, long time ago, maybe 2,000 years or so. And who owned that tomb in which Jesus rose from the dead? Do you recall? Joseph of Arimathea. And today, July 31st, is the day we remember Joseph of Arimathea. In the Lutheran Church, this is the day we commemorate his memory, Joseph of Arimathea. Who was he? Was he rich or was he poor? He was very rich. St. Matthew says in Matthew 27, he was a rich man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council, but he wrote, he's kind of like the Justice Scalia of the council. He wrote the minority opinion. He did not consent to their decision and their act to put Jesus to death. He did not consent. He was secretly a disciple of Jesus. Mark's gospel, I think, calls him a good and righteous man, or Luke's gospel calls him that. He didn't want Jesus to be put to death, but for fear of the Jews, he kept quiet. And he was a rich man. And it recalls, you know, that who was drawn to Jesus? Just the poor people? Just the sick people? No, all people are drawn to Christ. Even Joseph of Arimathea, even tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, all kinds of people, all walks of life, great or small, presidents and no ones, so to speak, all drawn to Christ, even during his ministry. And had something even to do with his death, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. You recall Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb in which he carved out a new tomb and placed the body of the Lord Jesus there. Did you know that in the scriptures that his act is considered by many, of putting Jesus in that tomb, considered a fulfillment of prophecy? Isaiah 53, verse 9. Tells us that he was put in the grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Isaiah 53:9. And that rich man in his death that Isaiah spoke about many, many, many years before is considered a fulfillment by Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man who put Jesus in the tomb. And what do we say to that as Christians today? We might rejoice that Scripture gives us these little details. Maybe comforts our faith to say what was prophesied long ago comes to fulfillment even in some of the smaller details. It gives us some assurance and comfort, Isaiah 53:9, that a rich man in Jesus is put into a rich man's tomb. Praise be to God. We might rejoice in that fulfillment. What else can we say about Joseph of Arimathea's faith and how that teaches us about the faith in Christ Jesus? Well, one thing you might say, he was prepared for burial. Prepared for burial. Recall Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb. Now, why would he have a tomb? Well, he knew he was going to die, didn't he? It's only people who have faith and kind of come to that recognition that we're not going to live forever tend to spend some money and some investment on their own upcoming death and burial. We don't all do that, but some of the world, even some Christians do that, do we not? And that tells us something. That may be something good to think about. The wages of sin is death. We will all die. We're not going to live forever. How are we going to spend our money? Are we going to spend it all now so that we have no money to give on to our children and our children's children to put us in the grave? Or should we save some up? Should we buy a grave so we don't put a burden on the rest of our family, so to speak. There's something to that. Joseph of Arimathea thought that way, and that might be somewhat sanctified in the Lord's thought, perhaps. But more than that, just being prepared for burial, you would also say he put Jesus in his own tomb. He put Jesus in his own tomb. And you think about, well, why did he do that? You might say, well, simply just respect for the dead or respect for the body, but probably more than that. Probably because of his love for Jesus and his teaching and who he was, the Son of God, as he'd secretly become a disciple. And maybe, perhaps, knowing who Jesus was and what he spoke of, maybe he also wanted to be with Jesus in his death. To be with Jesus in his death. It's kind of an important thing, isn't it? Is it not important for us today, the church, to be with Jesus in his death? We can't be put in the same tomb, so to speak, but we can be put where? In baptism, right? And in baptism, we are buried with Christ Jesus, buried into his death, and also we rise with him in the resurrection. So just as Joseph of Arimathea wanted to be with Jesus in his death, because someday he would die and be put in that tomb too, the same tomb that the Lord Jesus was put, so also we want to be where Jesus is too, even in his death. To ever want to long for, to be with Jesus. Isn't that the most important thing in all the world, to be with Christ Jesus, right? To put Jesus in the tomb as a good example for us, so to speak. Be with Jesus in his own death. Also, you might say that he made a good public witness of his secret faith. Joseph of Arimathea was secretly a disciple, but when Jesus dies, he goes to Pilate, and he boldly asks Pilate for the body of Jesus, for the corpse. And, you know, that's kind of a risky thing to do, perhaps, because now that might just associate Joseph of Arimathea with Jesus. Oh, you know him too? Peter earlier had denied Jesus before his death. And now that the death had taken place, Joseph of Arimathea had said nothing beforehand, but now that he's dead, he goes up and he asks Jesus for the body. You might say he was enlivened with a certain confidence or boldness to go and ask Pilate for the body. He gave a good public witness now of his secret faith. And may that be kind of inspiring to us, so to speak. The death of Jesus, may that embolden us to give a good public witness that Jesus Christ is dead. And yet Jesus Christ also will rise. He already rose long ago. And we too, we will rise. We will die, but we will rise. And we make a good confession of our faith. Are we prepared for our funeral? It's a good question you might ask. Right? Are we prepared? In a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a little workshop at Praise Lutheran for my members on funeral preparation. Why? Because it's a good opportunity for us as Christians to confess our faith in Christ one last time to our friends and family. It might be one of the most important confessions of faith we ever give. And so what hymns are we going to use? What scriptures and what things are going to be said? Maybe there's some worksheets we fill out and prepare and look ahead to our funeral. It's a good way to prepare to give a good confession of the faith. A good confession of the faith. Lastly, in the scriptures it says that Joseph of Arimathea was waiting for the kingdom of God. Waiting for the kingdom of God. Looking for the kingdom. And I'd like to suggest that he found it. Even on earth, he found the kingdom of God. Because wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. Even though Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world as he walked on the earth, yet the mystery of our faith realizes that where Christ Jesus is, the king, there is the kingdom. And where believers are gathered around the Lord Jesus, there is the kingdom. And Joseph of Arimathea was a part of the kingdom of God. He found it even on earth before he ascended up to be in heaven. The kingdom of God, to be ever near and close to the Lord Jesus Christ, our king. Isn't that an important thing? Joseph of Arimathea looking for the kingdom. May we, the church today, ever be looking and waiting and expecting and longing for the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.